particular area tonight for a few minutes, and then want to give you an opportunity to be thankful tonight publicly for anything God has placed upon your heart, especially toward the Lord. And I think it's good to be thankful in this direction, and it's also good to be thankful in this direction, both vertically and horizontally. But look in Hebrews 13, a familiar passage. We've heard it over the last few weeks, but I want you to see it in print. Hebrews 13 and verse number 15. It says this. It says, by him, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, as I mentioned this morning, he is the root, and our thanksgiving comes forth from that him being by faith in our hearts. Look, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Focus on that word continually, because what I want to do is I want to show you some things tonight that will reflect an attitude of gratitude, and you can do these things on a regular basis. You can continue to do these things, okay? And it says, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And because of this root, and because of how that God is working in our hearts, thankful people, in verse number 16, will look for opportunities to do good. And it says, and to give. That word communicate means to share and to give. Forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. All right, quickly look in Psalm 105 with me, all right? Psalm 105, if you're taking notes tonight, write these things down or mark them in your Bible. We're going to look at a few verses tonight that will help you in this area of things that reflect an attitude of gratitude, how that you can continue to give the Lord thanks in certain areas of your life. And I'm going to go over them quickly, okay? In Psalm 105, you'll notice with me here in verse number 1, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Number one, I want you to notice in verse number 1, you need to talk to him. One of the ways that God knows that you are grateful to him is because you take the time to talk to him. God wants your fellowship, and God wants your communion. You'll notice in verse number 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. That's you talking to the Lord. Have you talked to him today? I hope you talk to him more than once, but he wants you to talk to him. Sometimes my wife will catch me talking and she says, who are you talking to? But she's learned over the years to know who I'm talking to. I'm not talking to myself, at least most of the time I'm not. I'm talking to the Lord. I enjoy talking to him. You know what, Brother Brad? But I also appreciate him talking back to me through his word. Because I need to hear him more than he needs to hear me, for sure. But number one, talk to him. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. He appreciates that. And then number two, talk about the Lord, for he desires this. Notice it says, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Our Heavenly Father wants you to talk to him, and number two, talk about him before other people. Let it start with your family. Talk about God around your family. You can't hardly talk about God around your family without being thankful for what he's done for you and for your family. That's one of the things Deuteronomy 6 makes very clear, that it is to be basically spontaneous, not just a ritual, but not just an evening before you go to bed, but a time, but also spontaneously. If you're riding down the road and a window of opportunity comes up, you see something, you hear something, you talk about him to other people. Now notice in this, in verse number 2, notice the second part of that verse. He says, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Now, don't tell me that you don't know how to talk, because there are some that are very gifted at it. And if you're gifted at it and you're good at it, then include the Lord in that conversation. Let's look at some other verses about this, okay? Look over in Psalm 107 and look in verse number 32. Psalm 107, verse number 32. In our conversations, eventually, something should carry that conversation around the Lord and what God is doing in our lives, or what we need Him to do. In Psalm 107, verse number 32, He says, "Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders." So not only in the privacy of your home, but also in the public assembly. Like when you're gathered together, God wants you to talk about Him. And this is why I've encouraged some of you men, please, please. You say, "Well, I'm nervous about talking in front of people." God is worthy of your speech and of your time to say something. You don't have to make a speech, but just say something to let us know that you are thankful to God. Let Him know that you don't mind talking about the Lord and about Him. And if you'll keep your Bible open there in the book of Psalms, listen to what Psalm 34, verse number 3 says. If you're keeping track of this and you're putting it down in notes, then write down Psalm 34, verse number 3. Because it says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Now, isn't that a group of people? If it's with me, then isn't that collectively? And He says, "And let us," that's more than one, "exalt His name," how? Together. Let us talk about the Lord together and testify and praise Him and bless His holy name. All right, go back to Psalm 105 with me, please. You need to talk to Him, number one. You need to talk about Him before other people. Okay? Talk about Him in Psalm 105. He mentions that twice. And then another thing you can do is in verse number 2, sing unto the Lord. Sing to Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Now, why would He say that? Because these psalms were written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. But in verse number 2, He says, "Sing unto Him." You know what you need to learn to do? You need to learn how to sing unto the Lord, and instead of practicing to sing in front of others and to others. Because if you'll learn to sing unto the Lord in private, when you do sing to us, it's going to come through your heart. It's going to come through your soul. It's going to come through your spirit, because you have been practicing not to entertain, but to edify and to glorify Him. That makes a big difference in your spirit when you are singing. Look in verse 2. "Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him." So that's a way. When you're going down the road and you're singing unto the Lord, it is a way of continually of giving thanks unto His name. Now you'll notice about this singing, look up a few verses above that in Psalm 104. Look in verse number 33. Psalm 33, He says, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." God loves singing. He loves singing from your heart unto Him. What we saw this morning in the book of Colossians, we should sing with our hearts with grace unto the Lord. You know what Ephesians 5 says, be filled with the Spirit. And that we're to speak one of those with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart unto the Lord. God loves to hear you sing and to hum. He wants to hear not only the string, the playing of an instrument, as we heard just a minute ago, and these instruments here, but across the strings of your heart, He wants to hear you talk to Him and sing to Him. You say, "Well, Brother Roger, I don't know how to sing." Would you quit saying that? Quit saying that and just do it. Amen. And sing unto the Lord. The Bible says, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." A song magnifies the Lord, and it pleases God to let Him know from your heart that you are thankful unto Him, especially if you choose the right songs. There are a lot of songs that will light you up. If your fire is dim, you sing certain songs, I promise you it will fan the flame and it will help you spiritually and help you when you come out of that prayer closet or going down the road. Man, I'm telling you, just listening to some songs. Matter of fact, I was listening to y'all sing this morning on the way to church. Brother Brenda's given me, I've got one of those CDs of congregational singing, and I was listening to y'all sing, and I was singing with you. And man, what a blessing it was to hear you sing as a congregation the songs that we sing. And they're just certain songs that exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love those songs. I love to hear songs that are about Him. I just love them. Now, you're in Psalm 104, I think, still in verse 33. I want you to talk to Him. I want you to talk about Him in front of other people. You need to quit being shy about talking about God in front of other people. And you need to sing unto Him and quit saying you can't sing. Doesn't matter if you can sing or not. Do your best. Talk to Him. Talk about Him. Sing to Him. But in Psalm 104, look in verse 34, He said, "My meditation of Him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord." You know what that is? He wants you to think about Him. Amen. He wants you to think about Him. He wants you, that word meditation, it means to ponder. It means to reflect upon the Lord Himself. As the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am the Lord." David said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now here's a good example of this. Look over in Psalm 63 and let's show David. David's writing something here to help us to understand. By the way, I was reading a verse the other day about singing and praising the Lord and being thankful. And David said you ought to even sing upon your bed. How about that? When you're laying down, thinking about things, meditating on the Lord, it might help you sing yourself to sleep. Amen. But it also, it just will do some things for you. Look in Psalm 63, verse 1. Now here's a good example of thinking upon the Lord. Thinking upon the Lord. He said, "O God, thou art my God." Do you think that way? Amen or oh no? Is He your God? He is. "Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." When you're laying there in the bed sometimes and you're thinking about Him and you're singing to Him, you just might be surprised that your hands might actually go up in the air while you're laying there in the bed. Amen. Or maybe you're taking a walk. If you're going to lift up your hands toward Him while you're driving, do it one hand at a time. Use some wisdom. Amen. He said, "I will lift up my hands in thy name." Now watch in verse 5. "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help," my help. But David said, my help. "I lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." Verse 7, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." God looks down and He sees your heart and your mind and your spirit. And I pray that you understand how much this matters to God. Now quickly, I'm going to show you another verse. If you'll look in Jeremiah, this will be the last one. Jeremiah, please, in chapter number 9. Jeremiah chapter number 9. While you're turning there, I'm going to read to you another verse. If you're taking notes, you can write this verse down and see it for yourself. But in Jeremiah chapter 9, here's one way that you can glorify the Lord and magnify His name. All right? Jeremiah chapter 9. I'm trying to find another verse real quick while you're turning there. Jeremiah chapter 9 and look in verse 23. When you have the opportunity, when somebody mentions something that you've done, when somebody's done something, mentioned something that you have, in anything that where somebody compliments you or praises you, did you know that praise is very similar to being tried in the sense that it's going to give you the opportunity to either absorb that or deflect that. Okay? And you'll notice in Jeremiah chapter 9, if you will be very careful to give God the glory. Look in chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorifieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know something that Paul said to us as New Testament saints? In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, he says, what do you have that you did not receive? He said, why should you glory as if you did not receive it? God has made you different than everybody. You're unique. God has gifted you. God has granted you gifts from heaven. In your heart and in your life. But there's something else you need to remember too about talking about that, about how that the wise man and the mighty man. This is an interesting verse that we need to remember. Solomon said, I returned and saw one of the sun that the race is not to the swift. The fastest man does not always win the race, nor the battle to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. Interesting statement here, he says, but time and chance happeneth to them all. What does that mean? Does that mean good luck? No. It means opportunity and providence. I have seen two football teams play and the best team not win. I have seen two boxers fight and the best boxer not win. In order for you to be successful, you have to do your best. But without time and opportunity, you will not succeed. And so if God allows you to succeed in any area of life, you did your best, but you have to trust God with the rest. And you need those opportunities. You know, we're only one slip, break, or tear away from bankruptcy if somebody sues us for everything we've got. Without God's protection, without God's guidance, and what he's simply saying is that when you look over, don't be like, I forget which king it was. Was it Nebuchadnezzar or was it his son? Who in the book of Daniel, he went over and looked at all the stuff. Was it Nebuchadnezzar? He looked out, and he'd been warned not to do this. And he went out there and he looked at all this stuff and he said, man, look what I have accomplished. And then the Lord let him go a little bit crazy. He started walking around like a four-footed dog or animal of some sort. And his claws grew out, his hair grew out. He lost his mind, temporary insane. For years, they put him out to pasture. And then God granted him his sanity back. You understand? I'm just here to tell you that when you get the opportunity, if somebody brags on you just a little bit, you're the best at this and you're the best at that because you've worked hard at it. But remember this, that God has enabled you. You have to take what God's given you and you have to do your very best with it. But make sure it's just not you. How about you say it's me and God? that did this. And so be sure to give him the glory. And when he sees that, he is pleased when you give him the glory. If somebody mentions you about being good parents, if somebody mentions, boy, what a good lesson that was, be sure you deflect that. Because somebody said, Brother Roger, I sure enjoyed that message. Do you know that I can only give that which I've received? And did you know that it comes from prayer, from the saints of God praying? So without God, nothing gets done that gets done. You say, yeah, but man, I work hard and I'm good at what I do. Every breath you take is by the mercy of God. Everything that you're able to do physically is by the grace and mercy of God. The opportunity that you have to be employed is the mercy and grace of God. If you have your own business, God has allowed you to prosper in that. Thank Him for that. Give Him the glory for that. Amen. All right. Let's pray, and then let's have some more singing. I'm going to ask Brother Sam and Emery and Amelia to come, and they're going to sing. You know what the Bible says sometimes? Let's sing a new song unto the Lord. I don't know if I've heard this one or not, but I trust them, and I believe it'll be a blessing to us tonight. Okay? And then we've got some more things that we want to do tonight as well. All right, let's pray first of all while they're getting ready. Father, I sure do want to have a good attitude, and I sure would like to have a good attitude of gratitude continually. Please forgive me, Lord God, of my whining and murmuring and complaining. Lord, I repent of those things in my heart. Help me to be careful when I'm around others. Lord, lest my tongue slip. And God, I don't want to dishonor you. I love you and I thank you for how good you've been to me and my wife and my family. Thank you for your mercies toward us. Thank you, Lord, that my children are in church. And God, I pray that you'll continue to help our families. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.